not enough too. Jesus Christ indeed has been bruised. His heel has been bruised. And we recognize that this bruised heel of Christ meant that he died. We spend some time looking at the fact that it is not so much that he died, but that he rose victorious. And it is in that it was a bruised heel, as opposed to that which was spoken of in respect to Satan. Because while there was a bruising of the heel of Christ, there was a crushing of the head of the devil. He was utterly destroyed. And so we never want to look at Jesus Christ's bruised heel as a defeat, but we want to always reflect on it as a victory. That Jesus Christ really conquered. And now, as his children, we are marching triumphant. We recognize, even from the text read, when we see that scene surrounding Jesus Christ, and we have already, in a sense, looked at the scene of the cross, and we see that he was nailed, that Jesus Christ was humiliated. In that humiliation, he was robed in purple. He was forsaken. He was spat upon. He was ridiculed. They just made a mockery of him. But there is something that was said, making reference to Matthew 27 and verse 29 in particular. There's something that was said here in respect to all that was leading up to his crucifixion, that they placed or they plaited a crown of thorns and placed it. And I can just picture that in putting that plaited crown of thorns, that they did not take it and just gently put it on his head. But that, I can just see them, and when we talk about thorns, you know, because we don't really talk thorns, you know, we talk maca. All right, but our maca typically are small, but these were long. And when they would have put that on his head, it would have given him some serious pain. While that imagery is shocking and painful to even think about, I'm saying to us that Jesus Christ, the bruised Christ, it was not enough that he was pricked. It was not enough that Maka would have juked him in his very skull. That was not enough. In fact, if we read down from verse 27, and I realize I don't have a full-time reader. In Matthew chapter 27, even as it gave that 27, from picking up at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus
to the common hall.
Yes.
And gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers.
Yes.
And they stripped him.
Yes.
And put on him a scarlet robe.
Yes.
And when they had plaited.
So they plaited
a crown of thorns.
A crown of thorns.
They put it on his head.
Put it on his head. And it continued though, drop down to verse 31.
And after that
they had mocked him. They took off back the robe.
And put his own garments.
And they put on back his own clothes. And led him away to crucify him. What's the point? It was not enough for Jesus Christ to have been pricked. He had to be crucified. That's what made him the bruised Christ. And so we want to recognize that Jesus paid the ultimate price to deal with our sins. You know, remember how John had introduced Christ? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It took the life of Jesus Christ to deal with our sins. What are we saying? Not enough to be pricked. It took more. And I want us to take a parallel lesson in respect to us. Because just as it was not enough for Jesus Christ to be pricked, but that he had to die to become the true Lamb of God, so it is that even as we become exposed to the truth of the gospel, as much as we are exposed to the fact that from the very onset of man's existence and the presence of sin, that we needed to look forward to the death of Jesus Christ to deal with our sins properly, as much as we become convicted of this truth, and we can hear this and it becomes like water on a duck's back because we hear it over and again. And as Christians, I want us to encourage us never to start treating lightly what Christ has done for us. For those who have not yet embraced Christ as Lord, let us go beyond just a recognition that there was a man who died for our sins. Let us recognize that even though we become convicted and troubled in our minds, let us not feel that it is okay because I now believe. Can we go to Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. We are going to see here that in a sense, similarly to Jesus Christ, who was not accomplished in his mission until he was crucified, until he died for our sins, that we as mankind, that we, though pricked and convicted in our own minds that there is a God, and that's a good milestone to reach, because there are many others who have not reached there yet. There are many who do not even believe that there is a God. So that you have reached a point that you believe that there is a God, good. That you believe that there is the Son of God who left the splendor of heaven and came to earth, and that he died, that's good. You have reached and you have made some progress, but not enough. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it says,
"And now, when they heard this," "they were pricked in their hearts."
They heard this, they were pricked
in their heart.
In their heart. You see what I'm talking about? They were pricked. There was a sense of conviction. They were cut in their heart. So we realize that to come to this point is a good point, but we are going to see that that is not enough. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said,
"Unto
They said unto Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? What's the point? Here they are, pricked. Here they are, cut, in full recognition that Christ, the Son of God, was crucified for them. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is crucified for you? I'm speaking to our friends. If you are at that point, I'm saying to you, not enough to be pricked. Not enough to be pricked. Hear these pricked, cut to the heart, recognizing intellectually that something was needed. They proceeded to ask, what shall we do? I'm going to beg of you to give me some time to just step away from this point. I promise I'll try to come back to it. You see, there are many things that are deemed important, critical, I dare say. But inspiration, in a sense, has led us to realize that though they are important, by themselves, it is not enough. Jesus Christ had to pay the price for sin, a price that we could not pay. There are some who have been sidetracked, that have been delusioned, to think that for some reason it is us who need to be crucified or to be sacrificed. You know, people make all kind of mistakes, not rightly dividing the word of truth. So yes, you read scripture, and yes, there is an ark, but put it in context, because that God said to Noah, build an ark, does not mean that we should today be building an ark. That we see God in his wisdom and in preparing mankind for the Christ would have said to Abraham, sacrifice your son, is not an instruction for us to be sacrificing one another. And so we need to always rightly divide the word of truth and put things in their proper context. But I say, inspiration has indicated to us some fundamentals that are important in respect to us pleasing the Almighty God. One such thing, and we saw it in Acts chapter 2, when they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them,
repent.
Repent. Stop there. So among the things that Peter would have said to these persons, pricked, he's saying to them, it is not enough to be pricked. Repentance is important. And this truth is not one that we should get lost in, because it is a common tenet a fundamental truth throughout the gospel. Jesus Christ, while he was here, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, tells us, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, it tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And so we recognize that repentance is something that is fundamental to our serving and pleasing God. An important and a key thing. What are we talking about? Just as it was not enough for Jesus Christ to be pricked, we recognize that there are some things that it is not enough for us as well. It is not enough for us to be convicted in mind. It is not enough for us to feel that Jesus Christ is Lord. We must take it a bit further. So we have spoken about the importance of repentance. Another key element that we see coming up right through the gospel, right through the Christian age, is the importance of confession. Christ himself spoke of this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33, we see this coming out loud and clear. It says it two ways. It talks about denying and it talks about confessing. Read for me.
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Him will I confess before my Father.
Read.
Which is in heaven.
Yes.
But whosoever shall deny me before men.
And we see the contrast.
Him will I also deny before
so
my Father.
So if we confess Christ, he will confess us to God. If we deny Christ, he will deny us. So we have no doubt that just as important as repenting is, so is a confession. You know, not only Matthew, but Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, the writer Paul tells us that every tongue shall confess. You know, there are some things that are going to be necessary. You know, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no getting around confessing Jesus Christ. I'm just highlighting, and I'm going to stop at three things. So we have seen and I'm building up to something here. We see that it is important. Scripture tells us, repent is a necessary thing to please God. Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord is an integral thing for us to please God. These are things that man has to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and once I say that, some person say, I know where he's going, because that chapter is the chapter of love. And so we realize that as men, we have to love Verse 13 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians says,
and now abideth faith.
And now abideth
faith.
Faith.
Hope.
Hope.
Charity.
Charity. No, what's charity? Charity is love. So when you stack these things up, it says these three.
Hope.
But.
Faith. Hope. Charity.
Yes.
These three.
These three.
But the greatest of these.
These three, but the greatest of these is love. That's charity. So we recognize that love is something that where we are concerned, it is integral to our Christianity. It is integral for us to serve God. I know it's no surprise that love would feature so high and so great, because that is what depicts and is at the root of the bruised Christ. St. John 3 and verse 16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the bruised Christ. And so we recognize that love is at the heart of what we are about. I could talk a lot about love. And many have spoken of love. And I know that there are different types of love. You know, there's love that, you know, parents have for children and children have for parents. You know, that's a type of love. But you know, one of the things, if we really delve into this chapter 13, and I'm not going to yield to the temptation of dwelling there too long. But this love is the love of the will. It's that love that we decide to do. And so even in the presence of a parent-child love, it is heightened by this type of agape love. Yeah, that's the love we're talking about, the love of the will, that love that we decide. Because that I have my parents, it's natural that I love them and care for them. But sometimes things can still go awry. But that love of the will is the thing that will cause us to bear all things, endure all things, deep stuff. When we even have friendship love, you know, I just, a brethren, a sistren, you know, we can reason. There are commonalities and sometimes even differences that just cause us to complement one another, and so we can bounce things off each other. Even in that, when we put some agape in that type of relationship, it carries it to another level. When we talk about, you know, that's the friendship love. When we talk about the erotic love, you know, that love when you really check for that other person. You know, where the emotions come into play. When the feelings really strong. You know, that's a wonderful type of love. And it is something that, you know, I wish that everybody would be able to get some of this love in their lifetime. Because it is a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. You know, there's a you know, many persons have written love songs and so forth. You know, there's one that I particularly like, you know. You know, without love, you know, I'm nothing at all, it says, you know, and some people take that to the extreme, and they say that people use that in breakup and commit suicide. You know. But, you know, among the things that, and I think he borrowed that from scripture, you know, I'm trying to remember his name. You know, I think I jot it down so in case I never remember, because you know it works like that. Tom Jones. You know, in one, it says, you know, if I've conquered the world, and it's one thing that he doesn't have, and it's not love, then he has nothing at all. And there's an element of truth in that. But here it is. I'm here to tell us that all of us can say that we are loved. Because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And no matter what you are accomplishing in life, if you accomplish the whole world and you don't pull on the love of God, then you are really nothing. But God really loves each and every one of us. Love us to the point that he gave his only begotten son. And I'm stepping away again. Because he loves us individually. You know, we made reference to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But I always love Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and how it ends. Because though God loves the whole world, Paul, as he penned Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, says he loves the whole world, but he loves me. He loves me. So what are we saying? I remember my promise to you, you know, and I haven't gotten back there yet. We have established, you know, and I wanted to say this. It was in my mind, and I want to say it, that even with the Eros love, even with that affectionate love, and I can probably, I can boastfully talk a little now. That's a little. No one's really stand up here and go and let me a big expert. You know, but 20 plus years probably count for something, all right? And some of us don't reach that far, and some of us aspiring. It is good, even in our erotic excitement, emotional love, for us to mix that up with some agape. Don't let that love be all about emotions. Let it not all be about feelings, but let's mix that up with some agape, with some love of the will, something that I decide to do and to be. Because yes, as much as I love and feel excited about you, guess what? There are many other persons in the world that can excite. But you have made a decision. And so that has to be placed in the mix. You know, I heard somebody say recently that it makes no sense for you to have a spouse and decide to leave that spouse because there are 10 things that are so important to you and 2 things they lack. And you leave that person for the 2 things when there are 8 things that are so wonderfully well. So what we are saying is that every type of love, as we see depicted in 1 Corinthians 13, dash a little agape, a little decision, that which will cause you to bear some more, to endure some more. But I don't even want to leave the picture that it's just a bearing and an enduring, because love is a beautiful thing. It causes you to, in this world, recognize that there's somebody who has your back, who is truly interested in you, You know, I said I wasn't going to delve too long in there and I stay long. Let me come out and still come back right here. Bring back all of this in full circle. What is the point? There are some things that inspiration has gone clearly to point out that are essential, important to our Christian living. Love, that we must confess and not deny Christ, that we must repent, make a change. But what's the topic, Brother Webb? How you got here, sir? Thought you were talking about the bruised Christ. I thought you introduced the lesson as not enough to. Well, as important as these elements are to our Christianity, as much as inspiration has chiseled, so to speak, that these are critical and important to our Christian life, I'm going to put to you that repentance is not enough. Confessing is not enough. Love is not enough. Important, but not enough. Christ had to suffer. Prophecy told us, you'll be slaughtered, humiliated, shamed. You'd suffer, you'd be pricked. But that was not enough. There had to be more. The recipients of the gospel on the day of Pentecost, when they heard the first gospel message that surrounded what we have been on for the last couple of weeks, the bruised Christ, when they heard about the bruised Christ, they were pricked. But that was not enough. Well, what are you saying, brother? Not enough? In respect to repentance, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, we are told a profound truth in respect to repentance. It says, and it's not denying that repentance is important, but not enough. Read.
Bring forth therefore
bring
fruits.
Bring forth therefore.
Meats for repentance.
Meat
for repentance.
What is that saying? Yes, it is important for you to repent, but bring forth fruit. Bring forth evidence. Bring forth meat of repentance. Yes, repent. But make sure that we bring fruits of that repentance. It's not enough to just repent. So when we decide, friends, to come into the family of God, to be obedient, like what Peter would have said to his audience, beyond being pricked, repent. Christians, we are not perfect. We fall short. But we live a repentant life. And sometimes because of the life that we live and the impact that it has on the brotherhood, on the church community, sometimes the repentance cannot take place privately. So we have to repent publicly. But private or public, the principle that we are being shown is that we must bring fruit of our repentance. So you have been spoken to. Why are you forsaking the assembling of yourselves together? And I'm not talking about those who really wanted to come and couldn't come because bus wasn't running and taxi can't run and you live far. Not talking about you. But if it is that your practices are such that you start feeling comfortable coming to worship once a month, that's forsaking the assembly. And if it is that somebody rightly takes you aside, or a preacher from the pulpit talks about the sinfulness of forsaking the assembly, and you step forward in repentance, it is important that you demonstrate fruit of repentance. It is important. And how is that now? You start coming out. So you don't say you repent and then you continue the same way. You must show fruits of repentance. Gossiping, is that an issue for you? You realize that it puts you in trouble and it puts other persons in a negative light. And you are spoken to, or you come to that recognition and you say you repent, then you must stop the gossiping. Don't you? If it is that fornication is your issue, then it is not sufficient for you to say, well, I have sinned, I have fornicated, and I'm coming to repent. Well, what are you doing differently now? Are you repenting because you got caught? Well, are you still practicing that? Fruit of repentance. If you were stealing, it's not sufficient to say, well, let me throw gambling in it. So you win the lotto, and you're going to collect the $5,000, $5 million. And then you say, well, collect the $5 million, and let me go repent. Well, what's the fruit? Should I do away with the $5 million? Don't worry, collect it. Or now that I have the $5 million, boy, I can put $100,000 and buy some more. Pick 3, or pick 5, or pick 4, or pick 6, or pick 7, or pick 8. Fruit of repentance. And we could go on and on. Haughty spirit, full of pride. Fruit of repentance demands that we go beyond repenting. It is not enough to repent. We must show fruits of repentance. Can I quickly jump down to confess? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, following. What are we saying here? We were told that every tongue must confess. If we fail to confess Christ, he's going to fail to confess us. Important stuff. But I'm saying, it is not enough to confess. Important, necessary, and imperative, but not enough to be saying, Lord, Lord. Can we have it?
Not everyone that says unto me, Lord,
says,
Lord,
Lord, Lord,
shall
is not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not everybody that is confessing. Lord, Lord, read.
Shall enter the kingdom of
shall
heaven.
Shall enter the kingdom.
But he that doeth.
You hear the but? But.
But he that doeth the will
of
my Father.
But he that doeth the will.
Which is in heaven.
He that doeth the will of God. So it's not enough to be saying, Lord, Lord. And sometimes if you ever got a chance to listen to some worship, so-called worship session, the amount of Lord, Lord we hear, you're almost frightened. But inspiration is telling us, not enough just to be saying, Lord, Lord, but it is he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Not enough. You know, we're going to read some other verses, 24, 26, but you can't read that whole context, because we are wise when we do. So doing is the important thing. Quickly, love. You know, Tom Jones said, without love, nothing at all. Well, what can beat love? That's the greatest. Well, John chapter 14 and verse 15. Even in respect to love, I'm saying it is not enough to love only. What? What a heretic brother we have up here preaching. Read.
If he love me.
If you love me.
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. What's the point? No matter how we're singing that we love, if we do not keep the commandments of God, if we do not follow his instructions, then it's not going to augur enough for us. Not enough to repent. Show fruits of repentance. Not enough to say, Lord, Lord, to confess, but to do his will. Not enough to love, but to keep his commands. I made you a promise. Let me see if I can fulfill that promise in a minute. We are back at Acts chapter 2. They were pricked in their hearts. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized that like Jesus Christ, it was not enough to be pricked. They wanted to know what more. And Peter said to them, verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Be baptized, every
so
one of you.
So repent is important. We looked at that, but not enough. Don't repent alone. Repent.
And be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of your sin. You see, to get our sins remitted, we have to go beyond being pricked in our hearts. We have to go beyond wanting to make a change. We have to start showing fruits of repentance. Make that turn. But beyond repenting, we need to be baptized, because it's in all of that we get in touch with Jesus Christ. That's when the bruised heel of Christ comes into effect, because at baptism, we get now a chance to fit into that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bruised heel of Christ, we get that at baptism. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that we are crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 3 through 6 tells us that when we are baptized, then we get into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I want to say to our friends, I want to encourage us to learn and to make note of this so that we can be truly effective in our evangelism. That as much as you have gotten to the point where you recognize that Christ is the bruised Christ, his heel was bruised for us, that it is not enough to just believe that. People tell you, just believe and you're okay. Not enough. Just as Christ was pricked, it is not enough for your minds and your heart to be pricked and convicted. Not enough. You must do. You must make connection with that love that God has for us. You must recognize Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess. You must repent. You must be baptized to get in touch with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, he came to take away the sins of the world. Let us join in this mission. If you have not yet become a child of God, Do so today. No need to delay. What's the song of encouragement, brother? 578. Will you come? 500.